Just a quick word. Being a man or a woman of faith doesn't destroy your emotions. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So don't ever think you're just too spiritual to care enough to weep with somebody or laugh with somebody. We go through things in our lives we don't understand. I still have questions about my folks being killed, even though it was years ago. We don't understand. We don't have the answer. The Bible says the things that God wants us to know is revealed to us, and the secret things are for Him. And so we don't know. We don't understand. We don't know how to handle it, except trust Him. Amen. If you desire to see Jesus Christ glorified in your life, and every one of us should, how many really want that? If you desire to see Jesus glorified in your life, allow Him to do things through you that only He can do. And another thing, don't be afraid to share a testimony. I was listening to Bill Johnson, and one night God gave him a word. And a lady's knee was completely healed, just been broken, tore up. He went to another service and shared the testimony of that lady's knee, and three or four people's knees were healed. They went to another service and told that God had done for their knees, and other people's knees were healed. How many of you ever had a sore knee? How many of you know it ain't fun? I'm sorry. Teachers, it isn't fun. How many really want to walk in the will of God? How many have been asking what God's will is for their life? I was listening to a preacher, and he said, you know, Jesus told us in Matthew 10, chapter verse 8, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. So this lady comes up, could be a man, says, I really want to get married. What should I do? What's God's will? He says, heal the sick. Go ahead and get married and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. Well, I want to be this. Well, you can be that, but heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. God never gives us anything besides salvation that even we're supposed to remotely think about keeping. We're vessels. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will do what? Flow rivers of living water. So let me ask you, are you a spring or a pump? You know, every Monday morning after getting in church and being primed and then pumped, does something squirt out? Or are you just flowing with the Spirit of God? Is it hard for you to contain what God's doing in your life? Is it hard for you just to walk by someone you see hurting and crippled in pain without touching them? God wants us to do that. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, chapter 10 and verse 8, I want to read it to you because you've got it there. Matthew 10, verse 8. Let's start with verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. You freely you have received, freely give. It's like we told you a few weeks ago. Jesus preached to the crowds. He preached to the crowds, and then he demonstrated what he preached. Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them power and authority over demons and sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Power comes from having an encounter with God. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Things like this. Visitations in the night. When you have an encounter with God, that gives you power. Authority is living under the commission that God has given you. Now, hang on here. We have been commissioned to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, diseases. As we have been commissioned to do this, and we've had that encounter with the disciples, had an encounter with Jesus. And until the day of Pentecost, they worked under his authority. He gave them delegated authority to go do this. On the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you will receive power on high. They had a God encounter. It changed their lives. And after the day of Pentecost, they were no longer a bunch of cowards. Every one but John was martyred. But they also had authority. He commissioned them. Now you say, but what? These signs shall follow those who what? What are they going to do? They're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak in new tongues. If they take up serpents, they won't hurt them. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's our commission. You have authority through the commission that's been given to us by Jesus Christ. Now you say, wait a minute. What's the difference? I said power comes from encounter. Authority comes from commission. How many of you ever prayed for somebody you didn't feel any power? Huh? Just me? How many ever prayed for somebody and you were surprised later to see they were healed? When you don't sense the power, we live in the authority. He gave it to us over these things. You may look at me and say, well, I prayed for so-and-so and they died. That's very unfortunate. But you did what God asked you to do. We got to let him do what he asked. He does. And so we come to a place where we walk in the impartation of his power and the authority of his commission. Until we get a hold of this, we are going to be floundering around and wondering, why doesn't this happen and why doesn't that happen? If you're like me, there have been times you avoided the sick because you didn't feel you had faith to pray for them. Can I be honest with you? Anybody that's praying for the sick has had that feeling. It's not something that is abnormal. We were in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and the last person to be prayed for was a blind man who was crippled. And it's actually, I asked God, who's here that can pray for him? And you know who was there? I tried to get Pastor Tittle. He was out talking to somebody. I got other people, and they were out talking to somebody. So I waited till the last part of the service And I said, okay, here goes. My faith was really high. I mean, I was at a level I shouldn't have ever been, but I was there. And so I waited, went over and prayed for him and walked away, and he didn't jump out of the chair and he didn't see. But after church, as I was walking downstairs for lunch, I stuck out my hand to him and he took it. What does that mean? He saw something. He saw something. And Herb called me, or I talked to Herb, and the following week he was walking. He was seeing and walking. It's not based at times on your feeling. You have to understand, if I don't feel the power, I'm going to walk in the authority of God. He's given us authority over sickness, disease, and over every demon. Thank you, 2, 3. And so we walk that out. We live that life. Do what God has called you to do for an occupation. But if you have the occupation, understand that God has called us and embedded within us the Holy Spirit so we can do the same things Jesus did, that is to destroy the works of the devil. At times we become so used to coexisting with Satan and cohabitating with him that we don't take authority and walk over him and kick him out of here. In your home, in your children, at work, whatever's going on, you have authority. And as you have encountered with God, he amazingly releases his power in you. Don't allow Satan's lies to influence your ministry. Please. Don't allow the lies of the devil to influence your ministry, your life, your emotions, your activities. I was having a cup of coffee last Sunday and getting ready to preach and wasn't at church yet. And there are times you just know it rings a bell. You're not even thinking about it. I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing my Acts study. I'm in the book of Acts. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, tell the people not to take ownership of their poverty. Don't take ownership of your poverty. And then I went further. Don't take ownership of your past sins, your sicknesses, your diseases, or your failures. Don't take ownership. Don't go around confessing, I've got this. This is my sickness. This is my disease. This is my poverty. This is my lack. This is my shortcoming. This is my failures. Come to a place of saying, God, you're bigger than my past. I'm stepping into a new realm. I'm walking this out. I'm living this. It's not mine. Sickness, disease, and poverty came from the devil. He became poor so I could be what? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. We're wealthy people. We don't understand. We're in the top 0.5% of this world. Come on. God has it all. We don't understand that. They're worried about the 1% getting taxed. We're in the 0.5% of people because our God owns everything. I like what somebody says. I got good news for you. God's still in a good mood. I got good news. God got up this morning in a new good mood. He didn't get up, but he's in a good mood. I remember walking through a Red All when they used to have them. Anybody remember the Red Alls? Every all I've ever seen is brown, but anyway, you'll get that tomorrow. Walking through a Red Owl, and it was a new store in Virginia. This was years ago. We were pastoring there, and this person came out, and, oh, I hate this store. I can't find anything. I just don't want to come back here. Well, what do you think about it? And I looked at her and said, well, my father owns it. She looked at me and started choking and gagging. I never told her I was my heavenly father, but. Okay. That's the introduction. I got one page here we're going to go through. If I have to look at it, then I'm in trouble. Turn with me to John 15:8. John 15:8. How many have ever raised a garden? How many have one this year? What time do you go to bed? I just want to check it out and make sure it's going okay. Jesus says in John 15:8, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples." Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Do you ever have a cow that just couldn't have a calf? Tasted pretty good, didn't she? Ground up that baby and that made good burger. Everything God's created is supposed to reproduce. How many remember what he told Adam? Be fruitful and do what? Multiply. Paul writes some things that we just need to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It's the power of God flowing in you and out of you that produces fruit. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." What's been happening in the American church, and we need to come back, and I believe God's taking us there, is that so often we thought church was singing a few hymns or choruses, having a good message, and going home, and waiting until the next service. And after that, we'll wait for the next service. And everything was in words. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and in power." And like I said that earlier in the message, Jesus preached and then he demonstrated. Jesus was anointed with such power that people would touch him. You know, the lady that touched him was healed of the blood issue of blood. But also in Mark it says people gathered around him to touch him, and as many as touched him were healed. Peter had the shadow ministry. When I was a kid, we had the program on the radio, "The Shadow Knows." But this was different. Some of you old timers like me remember that. Fibber McGee and Molly and Mr. Gildersleeve. And I'm great at remembering things 50 years ago. It's yesterday I have trouble. No. Peter walked. And the people put the people in the street, the lame, the cripples, and his shadow falling on them and them believing in faith in God, they were healed. What did Paul do? Paul sent out handkerchiefs. Don't despise praying on a handkerchief and mailing it to somebody. God moves through ways that we don't understand, but he moves. And so the gospel came not in just words. The Bible says by the preaching of the word, people will be saved, but there's more to life than salvation. And so we bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not hard. You say, what do you mean? Bearing fruit is about who lives in you and who's flowing out of you. The presence and power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that flows in you flows out of you, glorifying Jesus, and people come to Christ. People are healed. People are delivered. People are touched. It's about the Holy Spirit living in us. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So in Christ we lack nothing. Amen? But also, no, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Look at me. Say this. I have God living in me. I have his nature living in me. Therefore, I have communication and power and authority from God. I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to bear fruit. Say it loud. Come on. Do you ever plant a garden and expect a failure? Farmers don't plant a crop and say, well, I better get my insurance ready right now. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godly brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now listen to this verse. For if these abound and are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful. If you have an NIV Bible, it's going to say you will neither be ineffective or unproductive. Look at me. You are prepared, ordained, designed, commissioned by God to bear fruit. Not something I got to come up to Scotty and I'm gonna, if I kill you, I won't give you mouth to mouth, and squeeze him and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. It's just like going out to your apple tree and start squeezing it and saying, bear fruit. Doesn't work that way. Bearing fruit is just as natural in our lives as putting your clothes on. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about walking this life out. It's about loving people. It's about enjoying things. And we live it. As we said earlier, some of you think you're not qualified. I'm not qualified to do anything for Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Was Jesus qualified to do anything for you? Somebody said, if you are willing to do what you feel unqualified to do, if you're willing, that qualifies you for whatever God wants to do through you. If you are willing to do whatever you feel unqualified for, it's the ones that's qualified he has trouble with. Because once we feel qualified and we just start doing everything, we don't ask God, we just say, well, this is the way he wants to do it. And sometimes he doesn't want to do it that way. Do you ever think that way? So here's what happens. God gives us the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But Christians are saying, well, I'm not going to get into the gifts of the Spirit. Some don't want them at all, and that's their choice. I won't say nothing nasty. And others say, well, I'm not going to step into the gifts until I have the fruit. Really? I have to have more character. I have to have this. I have to have something else. And I used to preach that. You know, get the fruit and then step in the gifts. The gifts aren't a reward for having the fruit. They flow together. While you're growing, minister. Did Peter have all the fruit of the Spirit after the day of Pentecost? I don't think so. But he still raised the lame man up and said in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We miss encounters with God because we evaluate our own lives, not from God. We evaluate our lives and we make a decision. I'm not in a place where God can use me yet. So, you know, it's a little bit like reincarnation. You come back until you get it right. But nobody's ever told me when someone gets it right. They're constantly on a Ferris wheel. Maybe this time I'll get it right. And so, how do you know when the fruit of the Spirit is active enough in your life where you have the right to minister and step into the gifts? You don't. And we miss a lot of what God wants to do because he's saying, I'm going to give you the fruit and I'm going to give you the gifts. They work together. You can put your toes out, I'll walk on them. But it's amazing. God wants your life to be so blessed and so full of fruit and so full of power and so full of anointing that you scare yourself. Come on. Don't look at me. I'm not one of Jorgensen's new calves looking for a gate. He wants you so full of God. Now let me ask you a question. Were fishermen the elite of Christ's day? Come on. Don't start thinking. Just give me a top of off the top of your. Were they the number one status symbol of people around smelly, stinking fishermen? Were they number one? But Jesus took them, taught them, sent them out. How many understand that? You know, he even let them make some mistakes. I was listening to a man the other day. And John, at the end of Luke 9, where we read the first couple verses, at the end of Luke 9, they're going through Samaria, and James and John decide that they have rejected Jesus, so they said, let's call down fire from heaven, let's torch this city in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's torch this city in the name of Jesus. You know what's the most amusing part? The next chapter, 10, verse 1, he said, he found another 70 and sent them out. Let's kill these people and tell them Jesus did it. If you read that, how many know what I'm talking about? How many know it's there? You know, most religions wouldn't put that in their book. When you're going out and doing things in the name of God, you probably make some mistakes. The only one who's never failed is the one who's never tried. You know, God loves you enough to let you ride your bike with training wheels on. Hello? How many ever got tired of the training wheels? And so you come to a place where you step out. Do you know why? Because God demonstrates his love through you to the masses. So get out of the place, well, I tried to give a word, or I tried to do this, or I tried to do that in the name of Jesus, and it didn't work. Forget it. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Say this with me. It's easier to please God than Pastor Fearing. Yes. Come on. You're stoned. Say it. I mean, it is. It's easier to please God than people. God has more patience and more tolerance and everything else than people have. And so we step out and we go to work. And you know something? As you're stepping out and ready to work for God, just turn your hearing aids up. Because he's always speaking to you. He's always ministering. He's always leading. Tony's going to put training wheels on Wednesday night, aren't you, Tony? How far away? Oh, you told me I could hit you. Okay. We'll go over some of this stuff on Wednesday night. Let you talk, ask questions. Because God wants you equipped for the work of the ministry. He wants you living the life. Are there setbacks? Are there things that go wrong? Are there things we don't understand? Are there things that we wish wouldn't have happened? Yes, all the time. But don't worry about it. God's big enough to get you through them. You know, we're dealing with a grandson that needs to have surgery, and he's only 3 months, and they got to wait till he's 6 months. I'm believing God heals him. But I'm not going to backslide if he doesn't. There may be a doctor I need to talk to. There may be something going on. God can use everything. But no matter what you're going through, and it was said earlier, no matter what's happening, no matter rejection or fear or whatever happening, don't ever think God's turned his back on you. Just time to love him. Just time to say, God, look at this world. Look what's going on out there. We had a lady taking us to her cabin on Monday morning, Sunday night. Very sick lady, fell down, couldn't get up. I looked at Diane and I just knew God sent us there for a purpose. I said, Diane, we need to pray for you. And she said, please. She just got out of the hospital. Her blood is messed up. She had Crohn's disease. She had a few other things. But there's a compassion that God gives you for people. And you know something? It hurts you to see people hurt. So step into it. Step into it. And walk it out for the kingdom of God.